praise God. Reserved for Tracy. Am I allowed to put my Bible there as well? I didn't want to upset Tracy in case she comes back and sits on my... I'm an itinerant preacher, and which means I walk around a lot. So I love to have no cable, you know. They want to put one of these things on me, but the problem is then I can't. So I feel all restricted with it, and all sort of bound up. I'm just a farmer. I dressed up for you. I put my posh jacket on. Is that okay? I looked around. I thought, oh dear, I've overdressed. But it's too late. If I take this off, I shall look like a sort of business. Anyway, never mind. I'm just a farmer, and I have to tell you the story of how God called me into the ministry. I was farming in the UK, and we had dairy cows. So I'm not an expert at anything, but I do know how to milk cows. And anyway, the dairy cows weren't making any money. And this was in the 1980s. I don't think the dairy cows ever made money in the 1980s, and they went, never mind. And so the only thing that we could do was to take our cows off to the shows. Showing cattle in the UK is a much bigger deal than it is here in this country. Here it's all about production. But over there, you wanted your cows to look smart. So we bought the best cows. I spent a lot of money and bought the best cows. But when you go and take a cow to a show, you have to polish it up. You might think this is crazy, but it's what we used to do. So you get the clippers out, you get the shampoo out, you get the scissors out and get all the hairspray comes out. We polish the horns. Well, they don't have horns, but they polish the shoes, the hooves, and then you've got your cow all ready for the ring, and she lifts her tail. Now, we're ready for that. So we had a prong and we had some straw, and so you'd put the straw and the underneath to catch the drips fairly quickly because it splashes and you don't want to have to wash her again. But then when she's finished and you take that away, we had this big roll of blue toilet paper. And there I was wiping up, and God spoke to me. John, he said, do you want to clean cow's bums for the rest of your life? And that was my call to ministry. And forgive me, but I've never been to Bible college. I've never had any formal training. But I know how to wipe cow's bums. So then the next thing that happened to us, and this just changed my life. I was invited to go and down to the opening of Reinhard Bonnke's big tent in Soweto. Anyone heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Well, he's a German evangelist who basically people have called him the Billy Graham of Africa, and he has seen over 75 million decisions. In his recorded decisions in his ministry, and literally has changed Africa. It's extraordinary what God has done through his ministry. Anyway, we went to the opening of his big tent. This tent seated 30,000 people, and I was there at the front row on the second day, and I heard the guy in front, there was a healing thing going on, and I heard this minister say these words, "Now put your hand in the air." And I noticed in front of him was a little girl, 10 or 12 years old, and she put her hand in the air as the minister had said. And then he said to her, no, not that one, the other one. And only then did I notice that her left hand was all twisted and withered. And then I watched the hand grow like that, and it took about that long to become completely normal. Now, I was trained as a scientist, Those kind of things don't happen in science. And so I had a radical rethink to do. I mean, my first thought was, there must be a balloon arm in her. You know, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? But that's the sort of thing that we think to try to fit things into our mindset. Oh, well, miracles don't happen. Or healing was for those days, but it's not for now. But when you've actually witnessed and experienced an arm growing, you have to make sense of it. And then I kind of dismissed it as, well, it has to be a fraud, or maybe the girl's arm wasn't withered at all, and it was just my eyes were deceiving me. And then I noticed on her right side was her mother weeping. And then I knew that was real. From that moment on, I dedicated my life. I said, Lord, this is what I want to spend my life doing. This is real life. All the rest of the stuff is just add-ons. Might be fun. I mean, praise God for toys and all of that. That's awesome. That's fun. And I'm sure Jesus did all of that. But this is the real deal. Seeing miracles, seeing people healed, seeing people saved. And ever since that moment, Bron and I, we went and worked for Reinhard Bonnke for a number of years, traveling around the world, organizing crusades for him, and I learned heaps from him. And then God asked me, but the problem was I'd seen miracles, but I'd prayed for hundreds of people and hadn't seen much happen. And then God asked me to start doing schools of healing. And you kind of go, excuse me, God, have you got the right person? You know, I lay hands on, pray hard, doesn't work. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that God doesn't answer those kind of prayers? Anyway, I obeyed and people started getting healed. And we've been doing schools of healing around the world now for 10 or 15 years. And I'm not exaggerating, literally tens of thousands of people have been healed. And we've trained tens of thousands. And we've seen just about every kind of miracle that you can imagine, except I haven't yet seen anyone raised from the dead. But I guess that's coming, God willing. I just haven't actually sort of come across too many dead people. But we can hide them away here, don't we? Anyway, I guess that's coming. I have seen a girl that was practically dead. Just not long ago, I was ministering in Tonga, and they invited me to go to the hospital and took me upstairs to a ward. Well, it was just a single room, and this lady was lying comatose on the bed, not moving. And they told me this. They said, well, this lady had bad cancer, and she flew in from another island here to be operated on, and the doctors opened her up and took one look and said, nothing we can do. So they just stitched her back up and left her to die. Please, can you pray? Those kind of moments, you just have to trust God. Anyway, I spoke Psalm 118, verse 17 and 18 of her. You will not die, but live, and will declare what the Lord has done. And then she smiled, and the family were very excited because she hadn't moved since the operation. But then we didn't see any more movement, and it just seemed time to go, so I left. Didn't think any more of it until, literally, we were just about to fly out of Tonga, and this guy that had taken me to the hospital just came to shake my hand and say, thank you for coming. I want to tell you what happened to our sister. And I said, oh, tell me. Oh, she said, the next morning, she woke up, she sat up, she had a bath, she got dressed, she ate breakfast, and she's flown home. Praise God. Praise God. Miracles still happen today. And in fact, oh gosh, can somebody just stop the clock for a second? I'd be very grateful. There's a couple of things on my heart to do. But first of all, who is sitting here in pain. You're actually sitting there and your back is in pain. Sir. And would you like to come? Three of you? Look, all these servants sitting here and they're all in pain and suffering for Jesus. And being, could you sort of turn around, face the music? This is something which amazes me, how God does this. Whereabouts is your pain? In going in. Is that sort of onto it? About there? Whereabouts is your pain? Behind. Up there? In here? Is that sort of the spot? Do you want to put your hand there? And where's your pain? Lower back, just there. Cool. All right. The Bible says these signs will follow those who believe. They'll do a number of things, but one of them is they will lay hands on sick people and they will get well. That is a clear promise of Scripture. In fact, it was Jesus, his own words. The end of Mark chapter 16, Jesus speaking, saying they will lay hands on sick people and they will get well. The amazing thing about this, well, two things. It doesn't say they might get well or some of them will get well. It says they will. Do we believe the Scripture? We're in a Baptist church. Of course you believe the Scripture. Does it say we have to pray? They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. Does it say they have to pray? Oh. Did Jesus pray for the sick? No. Oh. These things amaze me. So we've taught so many things. I'm just go back and look, study the Scriptures. Best thing to do, don't take my word for it. Go back and study the Scriptures. Jesus never prayed for the sick, except for one time when we read him praying before he raised Lazarus from the dead. And I can talk about that, but that'd take me longer than I've got. Right, now, let's start at this end. Move, wriggle. Touch your toes. Go on. Right down. Stand up. Wriggle. How's your pain? It's not there. That'll do. What about you? Wriggle. Yeah. How's it feel? Pretty good? What's this at the moment thing? It's finished. It's gone. It's done. Just say it's gone and say it's not coming back in the name of Jesus. It's not coming back. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Good. How about you? Still there? Oh, no, we're waiting for the wriggle. Come on. What about this? Can you touch your toes? Ooh, it's a long way down. Little bit still there? Stiff, you're saying? Well, that's because you don't take enough exercise. Should we finish off? Is it still, if it's still sore, or is it better than it was?
It's improved.
Well, look, these guys are onto it. Get them to put their hands. Put your hand on the low back. Come on, that's right. Because I want you to show it's not me. It's Jesus. And all we've got to do is to take a step of faith. This is all about stepping out in faith. Are we willing? Calling somebody up who's sick. In front of the congregation, takes a bit of faith. Would you agree? Are you willing to do the same thing? Because if you do the same thing, people will get healed. It's really not difficult. It's not me, it's Jesus. It's just that I've learned that if we put ourselves in a place where we need Jesus, he turns up. Have you noticed that? And the problem is that so often we run away from those situations where we need Jesus because it's uncomfortable. Of course it is. That's the whole point about faith. We can't do these things on our own. We need Jesus. Therefore, let's put ourselves in a place where we need Jesus, and he's there. We do our part. He does his part. The supernatural is half super and half natural. We do the natural. Only then the super happens. We have to do our bit. How are you doing, young lady? All gone? Give these guys a hand because they've done... Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Oh, there was so much I was going to talk about. But anyway, we've got a few people healed, and that's wonderful. Praise God. And that's not going to come back. And listen, if the twinge comes back, and this is typical devil, this is what he tries to do. He tries to put the twinge, the symptom, back. Why? Because he wants you to believe, number one, that you weren't healed, and number two, that there is no power in the blood of Jesus. It's not Jesus. It doesn't work. That's what he wants you to believe so that he can put the sickness back on you. And if we say, oh, it didn't work, we might not even speak it out, but we think it in our head, then guess what? We allow it to return. So this is where the fight comes in. We say, no, devil, I'm not having it. I have been healed by the blood of Jesus. Take your symptoms. Return to sender. I say sickness comes from the devil. Right, return to sender on it and send it back. Some of you, it's too old. We didn't do return to sender nowadays, do we? We just bin it. But anyway, the old ones know what I'm talking about. I want to just share one scripture because I can't stand up here and not share scripture, can I? That would be rude. Anyway, I love the Bible, so I'm just sort of having fun. It was supposed to be a fun day. I just wanted to share a couple of verses from Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm just going to read that again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Everybody say, no condemnation. Guilt is finished in Christ Jesus. For those who are in Christ Jesus, notice, not for those who are not. Guilt is dealt with in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Many people in this world have got many answers to the problems the world has. The scientists will tell you it's one thing, and the politicians will tell you it's another, and the religions will tell you it's another. But the Bible is very clear that the problems of the world are due to a three-letter word called sin. It's interesting, isn't it, that the word sin has got I in the middle. Have you ever noticed that? And the problems of this world are actually due to sin. And the issue is sin brings death. It's an uncontroversial, thank you. That's the word I was looking for, but I got halfway in and sort of lost it. Uncontrovertible, is that right? It sounds terrible. Law, what I mean is there is no, that's, it can't be changed. That's better. I can do that. It can't be changed. It's immutable. That's another good word. I like that. The law of sin and death. When we sin, we die. When the world sins, the world dies. When Adam and Eve sinned, the world fell into death. There was no death before sin came. After sin came, death came. And it can't be changed. That's the law. And it still applies to you and me today. If you don't mind me dropping my Bible. This is the law. It's like the law of gravity. The law of gravity is always here. You can try jumping, but it doesn't help. You know, you still come back down. And it doesn't matter where you are on the earth, although the space people are probably a different law out there. Actually, gravity is still there. It's just less. But where we are on the earth, gravity always applies, and it doesn't make any difference. It's always here. And you can fly, but gravity is still there. But the point is this. When we drop our Bible, it falls because of the law of gravity. But Jesus said, or Paul said in Romans chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. Does that mean that the law of sin and death is taken away? No. But let me ask you a question. Is the Bible now falling or not? No. Why not? Because I'm holding it. Is gravity still here? Gravity hasn't gone. The law of gravity is still here. But what's happened? There is a greater law, which is the law or the strength, the power in my hand. When we put our lives into the hand of Jesus, his law, the law of life in Christ Jesus, is greater than the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is still here. It still affects you. When we sin, we die. But the law of life in Christ Jesus is greater. It sets me free. Has any of us ever been set free from unforgiveness? You've harbored unforgiveness, and you've held on to it, and finally you let it go. You know what I'm talking about. The law of unforgiveness, the law of forgiveness, has set us free from the bondage that held us in its own power. So nothing is greater than the law of life in Christ Jesus, provided only that we are in Christ Jesus. There are two words that... Oh, can I tell you a story? Have I got time? Because I can't. We're over time. Is that all right? You've stopped the clock, haven't you? Yeah, good. There are two words that I was brought up on, but nowadays are not used very much. One is the word repentance. Perhaps I'll just focus on that for the moment. Oh, no, there's the other word before I forget, because I'm going to forget otherwise. The other word is surrender. Both require an act of the will. The first one, repentance, actually is very simple. This is one of Reinhard Bonnke's stories, and I make no apologies for plagiarism. There's no plagiarism in the kingdom of God. We're allowed to copy. Come on. He tells a story of when a lady came to him on the platform and said, "Oh, Pastor, please pray for me." And he said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "All my work is in darkness. Wherever I step, I seem to walk into darkness." And he said, "Lady, I think I know your problem. If we walk with the light behind us, we will always walk into our own shadow. And we can try jumping away from our shadow, but it always comes back. But if we turn around and walk with the light in front of us, then we will always be walking into the light, and our shadow is behind us." Repentance just means to turn. That's all it means. Turn around. We were walking this way. Make a decision. Turn around. You were walking away from Jesus. Make a decision. Turn around. That's simply what it means, to turn. Turn back. Now, when you start walking towards Jesus, the darkness is behind you. The sin is behind you. And his righteousness is before you. And you will always walk in the light. The other word is that it's taken me a long time to really come to terms with, and that's the word surrender. I was always afraid to surrender my life to Jesus because, well, I like running my own life. I used to be a rally driver. Some of you that are my age or a little bit older, I will apologize now because I was a hoon. And quite possibly, when you were minding your own business, driving down the island, I was coming the other way at about 150 kilometers an hour. Thank God he's delivered me from all of that nonsense, but that's who I was. I rather liked driving my own life. But then one day I realized that actually Jesus is going to make a better job of it than me, and I took out my car keys and I handed them to Jesus. I remember the moment. I said, Jesus, you drive. I've been amazed at the change. There are people here who have not yet repented, you've not yet turned, and you've not yet surrendered. Some of you have tried turning around, but you find it very difficult because you keep getting drawn back into your old lifestyle, or back with the friends that are not doing you any favors. And you need to surrender. So those two words I want you to remember. But just now, before I finish, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. But before and then when we've done that, what we're going to do is open the altar for those who need ministry, because you've seen already people being healed, and God is here to heal people. God loves people and hates sickness. Jesus is the healer. He is a healer. It's his nature. He didn't stop 2,000 years ago. He still heals today. So let's honor the name of Jesus, and those who need ministry, feel free to come to the front, and we will minister as best we can. But just before that, I want to give people, there might be some here that realize they need to surrender their life to Jesus, and if you haven't already done it. Some of you may not have heard the gospel. The gospel is very simple. The gospel is your sins have earned you death. You are bound for death. In fact, being blunt and honest, you are destined for hell. That's the reality. I've got a bookstall over there, and one of the CDs I've got there is on the subject of hell. Have a look at it. In fact, for those that are interested, there are actually two hells. So if you're interested, go and buy the CD. That's our destiny unless we turn around. You see, we are walking. We think we're running our own life, but actually the end product, the end result is hell. Turn around, because the end result with Jesus is eternal life in Christ Jesus, because we've been set free by the Spirit of life. So let's just close our eyes. Jesus died on the cross to take away your sin and pay for it in your place. That's what we've been singing. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Is there anyone here that wants to repent, to turn around and say, yeah, I've been walking the wrong way. I need to turn back and walk to Jesus. Is there anyone here that would like to do that? Just wave to me quickly. Thank you. Anyone else? Another one? Thank you. Anyone else? Two. Thank you. The back. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Now, is there anyone who you think you've had a go at this surrender thing, at this turning thing, but are struggling with it, and you need to just really surrender your whole life? Just surrender it. Let it go. Give it to Jesus. Who is here in that category? You know, you've been struggling with this whole thing, and you just need to surrender. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys, that you can put your hands down, but I'm going to ask you guys that have put your hands up just to be really brave. Can you do something for me? Can you come down, quickly come down to the front? I just want to pray for you. Is that okay? I'd love to shake your hand and pray for you. So don't be shy. Come out and come up here and let me just quickly pray for you. That's brilliant. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. It's wonderful. And while the others are coming, I just want to say that we love you, and this church loves you, and I would love you guys, you're all facing that way, that's all right, I would love you guys to connect with some of the church leaders here before you leave. Is that okay? Because what you've just done is important, and we don't want you to miss out. All right, so we want to minister to you. But let me just quickly pray for you. And I'm going to quickly lay hands on you. But first, let's all say a prayer together. Can we do that? Dear Lord Jesus, I want everyone, all of you, well, come on, everyone help pray this prayer together. Let's help them. Dear Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. I am a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross to take away my sin. He rose again from the dead to give me eternal life. I now turn from darkness to light. I surrender my life. Lord Jesus, here is my life. I give it to you. I belong to you. And you belong to me. Now please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can live the life you want me to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give them all a hand. They deserve it. Bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Okay, anyone that wants healing ministry, feel free to come for ministry.
Friends, I'm going to invite the worship team just to quietly sing in the background. We're officially finished the service now, but we're going to keep worshiping, just play music quietly for a while as people receive prayer for healing. Okay, so if you like prayer for healing, come on forward. But feel freedom also just to pray for those that are coming forward. Maybe you just want to sing along with the worship team in the background. But we're just going to keep the music going either if we can at the end of the song as people have prayed for healing. It's fantastic.